listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
I love the scene with Jennifer Parker and Marty McFly. They're sitting at the town square in Hill Valley, and they're just getting ready to kiss, and beep, beep, her dad pulls up, and you can tell these are 25-year-old actors playing 15-year-olds, because she's like, "It's my dad." He goes, "I know, it's okay, it's okay." And she runs off there, "Oh, I'm going to be at my grandma's. Let me give you the number." For those of you that are under 25 in the room, we did not always have cell phones. You used to have to tell people where you were going to go, and if you were in love with somebody, you were hanging out around that phone. You begged your parents to get you one of those 20-foot cords, which ended up being like a 4-foot cord because it became like this big wad in the middle. Anybody got a witness? And I was like, "God, you know." And so you'd hang around that cord waiting for her to call. And so she comes back, she writes down, "This is the number at my grandma's." And you can see he's just smelling that hair. He's like, glory to God. You know, I don't know if that's what he was thinking, but I'm a Christian. And so she goes up there and they get that little delicate kiss. And that's the power of love. Oh, man, come on. You get the 80s feels when you see stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with the 80s feels, the teen angst movies of today. I don't know why everybody's depressed in teen movies today and in love. I don't know why, but they're all, and they're vampires apparently. But, you know, so, but in the 80s, we had real teen angst. I expect you to be like, "Woo!" You know? And we saw things like that. And it definitely is the feels. And I admit, you know, in a series about love and a message about love, I believe that there's feels. I believe that there's the strong vibes, the emotions. You really do feel love, but I don't think that McFly and Parker kissing in Hill Valley, I mean, like, that's not really love. I have to believe that there's more substance to love than just one dimension, than just the feels. Amen, somebody? There's gotta be some depth to this thing if we're really going to experience any type of love. And what we're realizing is this, is that more and more, it's actually very, very chemical. It has a lot to do within, in our bodies, the release of pheromones. We're learning more and more about it, but this pheromonal connection that you have with other people. And it's basically a personal chemistry set of chemicals that you emit. Welcome to New Chapel. You're welcome for coming this Sunday. And you emit these pheromones, and they draw somebody of the same species, opposite sex, who we're going to talk about in a second, are completely different from you. This pheromonal connection. And it can be real. Like, it draws people. Like, I might not be drawn to you, and you know, it might not be drawn to me, but we're all drawn. In fact, have you ever been set up on a blind date, and you know, you trust this friend, and here comes the person, and you didn't have a chance to Facebook stalk them, you know, like every normal person would do, and so they show up. And they might even look good. They might even be a good-looking person. But you get done with it, and your friend's like, "So what do you think?" "Just not my type." You know? And why? They could be beautiful. I mean, 10 to 1, if it's your friend, they might have set you up with an absolute dog. But, you know, like, they're out there. And so I'm related to them. And so you go on the blind date, and you see this person. And they look beautiful. But there's just not a connection. And you can't put your finger on it. But there's not anything there. There was a study done at the University of Bern in Switzerland. Here's kind of the nature of the study. They took a whole bunch of guys, and they said, "Listen, men, we want you to wear this white T-shirt to bed for 3 nights in a row. And then turn them back in, and we're going to continue the study." And so the men did it. They turned in their shirts, and they put out the shirts in no particular order, but they knew, based on the tag number, whose shirt it was. And they had women go in. And the question was this. How's this for a study? Which shirt are you drawn to the most? Yikes. And so they had to rate it from like 1 to 3. And what they found was this is very interesting. There was no consensus. In other words, some people were drawn to this shirt and other people were drawn to this shirt. And there was no real reason why they were drawn to A or B. But what they did was they took all the data and they actually tested the men and the women to get a sample set of their chemistry. And they found this. The women were attracted to the shirts of men who had DNA that was completely different than theirs. In other words, this pheromonal connection, part of the reason why it's there is to attract you to somebody who's completely different genetically. It's God's way of preventing inbreeding. And it's the reason why Newaygo County hasn't taken over the world, okay? And so it's... Speaking of home, there was a guy, and his name was Gabe. You remember Gabe? And so Gabe, he was 16, and I was 8. And it's not a very typical thing to have a 16-year-old hang out with an 8-year-old. And so he's hanging around me, and he finds out that I like Ninja Turtles. Come on, 80s fabulous. And so they've got an 80s fan right there. And so he brings me 2 real samurai swords. He just gives them to me. And I'm just, I you know, like, in our world, how people parent now, it's like you go to the mall and everybody's on a leash now, you know. When I was a kid, it was like, hey, samurai swords, I got some lumber out there that you could cut. Like, it was kind of like, hey, go have at it. Have samurai swords, Dad. Perfect. Okay, so I take the samurai swords, and I have a great time. He keeps on hanging out with me and finally starts asking about my sister. Oh, now my sister's beautiful, but at 8 years old, she's gross. You take your swords. Get away from me. You're disgusting. That's my sister. You know what I mean? Why? Nature puts it in there so you don't end up hooking up with your sister. There's a pheromonal thing where it's like, ew. You know what I'm saying? And if that doesn't resonate with you, we're going to have prayer partners on the side of the stage after church. There's just this thing put in us with a pheromonal connection. And here's what happens. If you really start to like somebody, here's what's going to happen. You'll become infatuated with them, because what happens is the pheromones, there's actually a series of chemicals. I can't even list them all. But I'm going to list just 3 of them that are probably the greatest accelerants to the feeling of falling in love. The first one is phenylethylamine. You're welcome. And I'm going to call that PEA for now on. It's a neurotransmitter. It releases a chemical which causes you to fall madly in love with someone just by looking at them. And so, to not exclude those people in the room that are in your 40s, 50s, 60s, I have some old school songs that you might remember. How about this one from The Doors? Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Right? Like, hello, I love you. I've noticed that you're a hard worker. No. What's he noticing? I see something I like. How about The Beatles? Where he said, I fell in love with her. Why? Is she intelligent, smart, poignant person? Is she really creative? No. I saw you standing there. You, me, us. You know, it's kind of Flintstones, but I think it's built into us. It's a biological, primal attraction where you're just, you know, I mean, it's like you just want to club them and drag them back to the cave. Like, you, I like. And I'm, in my mind, I'm envisioning a woman clubbing a guy, by the way. And so, like, it's just this draw. The next chemical is called dopamine. It gives the feeling of well-being. It's where we get the word dope from. Awesome. How about this one? Norepinephrine. This produces more adrenaline in your body. So when you get around them, you have the feeling of excitement. Oh, dopamine. I feel good when I'm around you. Oh, well, we're talking about phenylethylamine, PEA. Oh, this is, everything about you is awesome. I can't even see any of your flaws. And here's the deal. You are a chemistry set. In fact, PEA is an amphetamine. Incredible. People literally get love drunk when they get around it. The teenage me, by the way, could kiss for 3 hours, maybe 4. Why? Oh, we are sinking on a chemical. Like, I'm there, baby. Let's, you know, and you guys are laughing. You're like, oh, I'm way more holy than that. Shame the devil and tell the truth in church. I mean, come on. You remember being that chemistry set where there's this attraction to them. You wonder why, when you're trying to talk to your teenage son or daughter, and hey, you're getting a little close to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, I just want to talk to you, and you wonder why there's not an in, and you really can't communicate with it. You're talking to a drug addict. They're high on a chemical called love. And all the parents said, amen. Yeah. And here's what happens. We get these feels, right? The vibes, the feelings. And the danger is this, is making big decisions on a chemical love. Now, let me tell you something. I believe that God put this in us for a reason. I believe that the feelings are a positive thing. I don't think that they're a negative thing at all. But I do believe this. We've got to use some wisdom, right? We got to weigh this thing out. Because here's why. All of these different chemicals, the PEA especially, wears off in 6 months to 3 years. Thank God that it does. Could you imagine the husband and wife, they've been married for 10 years and the kids are up on high chairs and they're starving, but mom and dad won't even break locking lips to suck air for a second, much less make the kids dinner. Why? Because they're strung out on this drug, you know? I mean, thank God that they wear off. And I believe that they wear off with just enough time for you to build something that has more substance to it. I really do. And so I really believe that God has a plan through it. Now, do you understand why Hollywood acts the way that they do? That they fall in love with somebody and they get married to somebody and then they fall out of love like it's a disease, you can catch it or something, and then they divorce that person. And what we realize is that this is really a first world problem, like to the max. Like it was only kings and queens or presidents 100 years ago that could even experience this sensation. But this is what happens when we pay people exorbitant amount of money for doing relatively little. You should tweet that. But what happens is this. They fall in love. They get married. They get divorced. They go for the next person that they're falling in love with. And the reality is this. Their money makes it so they can float a drug addiction. They're able to pay to be with some of the best-looking people in the world. And let's just be honest, whether it be by surgery or naturally, they're the best-looking people on earth today. And so what happens? They're able to support a drug habit, but the problem is they leave a wake of people in their past. Well, that's not even fair, right? Some of you guys then think that love is based on beauty, like, oh, she's so beautiful. You believe that if you were to be with Kate Upton, I would kiss her feet every day for the rest of my life. And you would for 6 months to 3 years because it's not based on beauty. You are in love with the feeling of love. Wow. And I just would love to believe that God has a better plan than us just being ruled by primal chemical love. I just think that there's more than all of that. And so here's the deal. We've not talked about things like this in the church for a long time, and I'm going to be the pastor. I love you enough where I'm going to talk about it. So here's what I'm going to do. It's really going to separate the kids from the adults in the room. I'm going to show you the most powerful sex organ. I have a picture of it. I'm going to put it on the screen. You have to protect it. 1, 2, 3. This is the most powerful sex organ. You're welcome. Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, you're covering your kids' eyes. It's your brain. It's how you think about things. It's your perspective on all of these different matters. It's whether or not you're really going to sink in and sync your mind up with God's best for your love life. It's your brain. And so I think it was very apropos to have Bon Jovi launch our message today where we've made love a bad thing, where we've taken maybe some elements of God's design and we've taken that as the whole picture. And I think that we've made it a bad thing, and I believe that the love of God is so much greater, so much more substantial than just the way that the world portrays it. Say amen, somebody. And so I believe that God has some answers to these things. And in the book of Ephesians, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul really details what this is all about. The book of Ephesians is a letter to the Ephesian church, and he's writing this letter, but two times in the book of Ephesians, he breaks out into prayer. In the first chapter, he breaks out into prayer. You should read it. It starts in verse 17, goes to the end of the chapter. And then in chapter 3, he really breaks out into prayer. And this is what he prays for the church, Ephesians 3:16. Paul prays that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through your spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, I love that visual there, may be able to comprehend, remember that word, with all of the saints, this is for everybody, what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which, check this, is classic Bible, passes knowledge. Paul wants you to know something that you're not really going to know, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He alludes to it earlier in that passage, it's in your inner man. It's not something that you're going to know all of the answers to here. You're going to know all the answers to it here. Let me even say this. I said this first service, and this wasn't in my notes. I'm going to say it again. For those of you in the room, and you maybe struggle with anger, or you struggle with just a negative persona on you, or maybe like you just you're kind of an Eeyore, right? The Bible says that when you accepted Christ, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart, not your head. And so in other words, that mind piece is huge. You've got to wrap your mind around some of these different things, but you do have it. It is something that you can make a withdrawal from. That love is within you. The love of Christ is within your heart. Say amen, somebody. Well, the main thing about this that I want to bring out is there's different dimensions to love. There's width and length and depth and height. There's not just one thing. It's not just the feels. It has different dimension to it. And I like how it says it in this passage, that you might be able to comprehend, may be able to comprehend. It's not like, maybe. No, it's saying that you may be able to comprehend this. Ephesians is all about the mysteries of God being revealed. If you've heard ever any supposed man of God talk about, oh, there's mysteries. Well, Ephesians, the like subtitle should be, here's all of the mysteries being revealed. You know, like it's all right there in the Bible. And so this mystery of the love of God is something that we need to make a withdrawal and comprehend. We have to seize this, take this, comprehend, which means this, our mind, our soul has to be apt to understand these things, to take it in. We have to be spiritually invigorated to take these things in. Think about it. You have to comprehend something that's super simplistic, right? You don't have to wrap your mind around something that you can easily understand. This is a deep spiritual truth from God's word, and what we need to do is wrap our mind around it. And so the dimensions of God and his love, there's four of them, the width, length, depth, and height. And today what I want to do is focus on the width of God's love. Width is something that we use all the time to describe generosity. In other words, if you talk to Aurelio about Christmas, he'll be like, oh, there were so many presents. Or maybe you talk to your uncle and he frequents buffets and he went to the Ming Ten. And he got back from the Ming Ten, it was awesome. It was so much. You wouldn't say there was so much. I mean, maybe with him you'd go that high, but like, you know, generosity is always width. We use width to describe generosity. And so write it down. Kind of my first thought of several theological deep Bible thoughts about love is the fact that love gives. Write that down. Love gives. The width of God's love speaks to generosity. Love gives. Wow. There's an Old Testament story, and it is about the prophet Hosea. Maybe you've heard of him. The prophet Hosea was anointed of God to be a prophet to Israel, and as such, it was a big deal. We don't really understand historically what it would have meant, but it was prophets, priests, and kings, and in that order. The prophet was a huge deal. This was the mouthpiece for God in the ancient world, and so Hosea becomes anointed as a prophet. He gets these priestly robes. He's getting ready to be a mouthpiece for God. And this is his assignment. It's true. It's in the Bible. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord began to speak through Hosea. All right, it's time. Let's hear it. Go marry a promiscuous woman. Some of y'all did that. You didn't even know it was in the Bible. Amen. So marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. What? In other words, hey, Hosea, unlike the rest of the guys where they're just telling him what I think, I want your life to preach in the most literal sense. Go marry an adulterous woman. See, I don't know where some of the denominations get that men of God can't marry. That it's not in the Old Testament for sure. The prophets, priests, I mean, they were allowed to marry. And so he would have most likely been going for the daughter of the country. I mean, just the most beautiful woman, godly woman. And what the Lord does is sends Hosea to the red light district. And if you could imagine the prophet of God going down to that street, you know, that one street. Like, we have a street in Grand Rapids, y'all could name it right now, like going down to that street and walking on it, and just, why is he here? What's he doing in this neck of the woods? They're probably, hey, what you doing, man of God? And he goes to, I don't know where. I don't know where you buy women. I don't know if there's a cover charge. I have no idea. But could you imagine the man of God walks in and he sees women put out there like fresh meat. And he says, I'll buy her. I'll buy her. He pays to buy this woman. And how I know that this was an absolute act of charity, how he didn't know, is when he got her, her name was Gomer. And you can read the Bible, that's honestly her name. Her name's Gomer. If you want to name your child Gomer, don't. Don't do that. It's just, I won't dedicate your kid, you know? And so don't name your kid Gomer. And so Hosea and Gomer fall in love. They get married. And here's what happens. She's faithful to him. They have three kids together. And it's an Old Testament picture of when we were in the garden, we fell from God and we ate the fruit, all of humanity, right? And we turned our back on God. that he still was willing to make a way. And even in the Old Testament, they were able to atone for sin. God made a way. Love gives. And in the New Testament, I can tell you this, and this has been on my heart last 10, 12 days because of Billy Graham passing away. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it say? God so loved that he gave. Love gives, and it gives, and it gives. Second kind of thought, Bible thought, write it down. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Ephesians 5, in the same world of what we were just reading, it says, be imitators of God. If you want to really be a godly person, live out how God would have lived on this world, what does it say? Walk in love. As Christ also loved us and has given himself for us. Love gives, guys. And so a couple weeks ago, we had Valentine's Day. And if you're a smart guy in the room, you gave gifts. And I'm telling you, it does not matter what they say. They can say, oh, no, let's go small this year. Let's not even worry about it, you know. We can put the money over in this area. How about this one, guys? Maybe you've been on that bench. Well, what bench are you talking about? Outside of TJ Maxx in the fitting room? That bench there? Yeah, I've been on that bench. And they come out, and what do they ask? Does this dress make me look? Yeah. The people that weren't saying it are smart because they're sitting next to their spouse. And so you can hear all of that to your blue in the face. You know, she can come out and be like, oh, I'm losing weight. I'm so fat. I'm telling you, if you show up to Valentine's Day and you're like, listen, honey, you've been talking about how fat you've been getting, and I can see that you need to lose some weight. And so I held back on the chocolates, and I got us a red box tonight. You can be watching that red box alone, sir, because love gives. And all the men said, amen. Third thought, write it down. Falling in love, right, quote unquote, the natural chemical attraction, I mean, doesn't give you the feels in a sustainable way. Well, how do you get the feels in a sustainable way? The feels follow people who are walking in the giving love of God. And let me say this. In the United States, and I love this about us in many ways, is we have a consumer-driven society. So in other words, if I'm working, you know, with a different vendor or company or contractor, and I don't like the work that they're doing, I can flush the toilet on it. You know, I can stop the business relationship. If somebody works for you and they're not producing results, you can stop the bus, let them off the bus. And so there's a lot of positive elements to having a consumer culture because we can ultimately go for the best. But I think that what we do is we apply like how we shop on Amazon to our personal relationships in life. And I think that we just flush the toilet on people so easily. And so that's kind of broad. Let me make it very, very specific. I think that we take this consumerism and we drag it into our marriage. Like, in other words, I've counseled people before and they've sat with me and said, listen, I've just fallen out of love. I don't feel it anymore. And I'm like, no, duh, that's year two. Like, what's the big deal? You're not supposed to be ruled by feelings right now. Those feelings were a bridge for you to create something real. And then while you're doing the real thing, the feelings can catch up because feelings follow decisions. You need to be led by your feelings. And so I'm going to say this. If you're not married in the room, I love you. I'm your pastor. I'm going to give you a very honest truth, and that is this. If you are looking for happiness, do not get married. Glory to God, amen. Somebody run around the church, okay? Like truly. And let me tell you what I mean by this. If you're seeking happiness, like in other words, I want to get with this person because they make me feel happy, and it's all about you. And when your gauge goes to empty, I fell out of love with them, and they become disposable in your life, that's wrong. Why get married, Pastor Joe? Number one, the deeper I get into this, I don't know. But number two, what I would say is this. It's a great opportunity to experience the grace of God to have a woman that loves you. You know, like that's like, holy crap, I won the lotto. But marriage is not to make you happy. Marriage will make you holy. But to the person who's doing marriage right and sowing into their spouse well and loving on them well, oh, the happiness will follow those decisions, but it can't be about happiness. Some things, if you make it about that thing, you can never enjoy that thing. But if you're free to give that thing away and you're like, listen, I'm not gauging this thing. Like, you know, I know you took out the dog last. It's not my turn. Like, I'll let the dog out all the time. You know, like you're in it to love the person. You're in covenant. then what will happen is that giving love will make you happy. You'll experience the feels, and you'll experience them in a sustainable way. Fourth thought, write it down. Giving love costs in the short term, but it really pays in the long term. Wow. Jesus put it this way, and he was given a parable, but it's a principle. And if you get worried when I read scriptures like this, I'm not talking about finances at all today. But John 12, Jesus said this, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. What is that saying? Another way that Jesus said it is this. If you try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, for my sake, that's where you're really going to find it. Well, what's the concept? Christians learn this. Hear me. I love you so much. Giving does not result in loss when it's given in Christ, when it's given in love. Don't be so afraid to hold on to all of your stuff and hoard up all of your stuff. You never see on Fruit Ridge one of those farmers go out there and plant an apple tree or they plant some corn. They take the corn kernel and they put it in the ground like, oh, there goes dinner, you know, and they put it in the ground and they walk away, shucks, you know, I had butter, you know. And they don't do that. Why? Because they know that when they sow it into the ground that it's going to come up with a stalk and there's going to be hundreds of kernels. And so you can't be afraid to give in love. You can't be afraid of the width of God's love. It's not something to be feared. It's something to lean into. Because when you do it, I believe it pays in the long term. And some things have to be given before they can be enjoyed. There was a farmer, and he had chickens and he had pigs. And so on the morning, this is on Fruit Ridge, if you can imagine, the sun's rising up and the chicken gets up and he sees the pig there and he says, ah, Mr. Pig, good to see you. And the pig says, hey, you know what? We have a great boss, don't we? And the chicken says, you know what? We do. He's a good farmer. I was on another farm one time, and this farmer, I mean, he is 10 out of 10. We have a really great boss. You know what we should do, Mr. Pig? We should make him breakfast. How about ham and eggs? And the pig says, buddy, for you, that's a sacrifice. For me, it's total commitment. And you're welcome. You need to Facebook that immediately. And so what does Jesus do? He totally commits to giving to all of us. God sowed Jesus, and he didn't just get Jesus back. He got a lot of us with him. Amen, somebody? And so love isn't afraid to give. What I've realized, and this is really appropriate for just weeks before Easter, but I know this from the bottom of my heart, every death in Christ is followed by a glorious resurrection. When you sow it, that's the only way that you're going to be able to enjoy it in your life. So what do we do, Pastor Joe? There's some theology about it. There's 4 points that are like Bible points. What do we do? How do we take ground with any of this stuff? I'm glad you asked. You guys set me up so well for these things. 1 John chapter 4. If God so loved us, what are we supposed to do? We also ought to love. And so, gang, what I want to do is give you 4 practical things of what you can do this afternoon in traffic with your loved one when it's your turn for the nap, tomorrow at work, that you can apply to your life this week to see that generosity in love come to pass. First thing is this, write it down real quick. Number one, let's give our time. Let's give our time, our time. My time matters a lot. Let me just be real frank, and I'm busy. It's because I love the work that I do. I could just sow into it. It's incredibly satisfying to see God do his thing in people's lives. And so you can just add hour after hour after hour. And some people are like scratching their head like, how in the world could you? Like, I thought you just sat around and drank coffee. Honey, please. You are welcome to join an internship here at the church, though. That'd be wonderful. But we like working, man. We got some hustle around New Chapel. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all like the hustle that we got around New Chapel? Yeah, I'd be glad about it. You get your money's worth. I mean, we're working hard behind the scenes. The staff works hard, and the interns work hard, and we pray hard, and we stay late. We come early because why? We just love it. So my time is very precious to me. Now, above the church, the most important thing in my life is my relationship with my wife. What about your kids? Well, that's number two. In fact, let me put it this way. If your kids are number one in your life, my kids are number one, you will never love your kids with the same strength that you could if you loved your spouse first. That's a nugget, and that's for free. But I love Kaya. And so Kaya and I, every Thursday, we have a date night. 1/7 of my kid's life is spent at grandma's house. God bless you. Go to grandma's house or Nai-Nai's house. Going to Nai-Nai's. Have a great time, kids. Buckle you in. You know, like, you got to go. Because why? I'm still dating my wife. And I'm going to be dating my wife until I'm 80 years old. And what, Pastor Joe, you go out and have hot dates? Is there any other kind, you know? And so Kai and I, we're dating each other. We're loving on each other. I'm sewing into her. And since we've gotten all these kids around us now, I can't wait until 8 o'clock because that's bedtime. It's like 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, you're going to bed. You know, we tuck them in, and then I'm able to turn the lights back on and have an adult conversation. Glory to God, you know? And so I love being able to talk to Kai and have adult conversations. It's a huge deal in my life right now. And so date night is an extended portion of that. And we love each other. So I sew into my wife. I sew into my kids. I never knew this because my dad always said, Joe, you can't operate, you know, heavy equipment. So he wouldn't let me use the wheelbarrow, you know? And so I had no, shut up. And so what I did was I learned that I could make toys. So I made toys for my kids and made different things. And, you know, Aurelia, he's really into different, you know, like movies and stuff. So we'll kind of make things around that. And Jack, I mean, he's still, you know, 7 months old, 8 months old. So he's just happy to be there, you know, get down there on the carpet and, you know, play with them and tickle them and love them and, you know, do dad stuff. And so I sew into my kids. Now, unbeknownst to me, when he was at his grandma's house for one of those said date nights, they were just filming him and asking him questions. So this is a really, really, really long video that I clipped down to 10 seconds. But this is what they sent me on my phone. Go ahead and show that clip real quick.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Like daddy.
You want to be like daddy?
Yeah. Yeah. When I grow up.
I put a lot of time there. The video continued on, and they were asking questions. They said, well, why? Why do you want to be like daddy? And he said, because daddy plays with me in my room and we watch Dumbo together. And let me just tell you, dad, if you have a disconnect with your kids, mom, if you have a disconnect with your kids, hey, grandma and grandpa, if you feel like, oh, no, different generation, I don't have an in, you have an in. Because love for these kids is most often spelled T-I-M-E. That's how you spell it. And you need to sew it into them. And I would even say focus time, like your attention is on them, like you're not just in the room. It's not enough. You got to be engaged in your life. This is your life. These are your kids. This is your wife. You live it or you don't. But I would encourage you to give your time. Second thing, I got to move on. Let's give our talent. Let's give our talent. Our talent. Write that down. I'm going to say a name. You probably don't know her. It's Jen. Let me tell you why I know Jen. When Kai and I and the boys leave church on a Sunday, we talk about church, and we talk about things that we loved about it. And Aurelio, he's, you know, 2 and a half, so he's chiming in, and he'll talk about his lesson, and we have the parent cue, which makes us look like we're brilliant, you know, and so we've got the memory verse and all those different things we're feeding to him, and we kind of play tennis back and forth during the week with those memory verses. And one thing that he says, I mean, every time that she's scheduled is, oh, I love Jen, and he talks about Miss Jen and Miss Jen and Miss Jen. Jen Hurlbrink is his teacher back there. Now, Jen may or may not be on your radar, but can I tell you, as a dad, she's on my radar. Kai and I know Jen. Kai and I sew into Jen because we love Jen because Jen loves our kids. And what does she do? She uses her gifts and her talents to sew in to these little kids that can't pay her back. It is her profession. She works in that world, but she's able to come here and use it for the kingdom of God. And it just, it puts her on my radar. It makes me just absolutely fall in love. We're Jen fans. I want a Jen shirt. Why? Because my kid loves you, and you're teaching him. She, think about this. This is a huge deal. I'm a preacher, right? Jen is the first preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ to my kids. What? So we just think that they're back there all getting, you know, you guys have childcare? No, we got church. Those kids have a great time. They learn about the Lord back there, and Jen's preaching it up. Amen, somebody? That's the power of using your gifts and your talents. And so New Chapel believes in that so much that that's why we do New Chapel Connect. What is New Chapel Connect? It's all about you finding your gifts and your talents and your purpose and then ultimately pouring that into God's kingdom. Today is partnership one. I teach that class personally. I want to have lunch with every single one of you. I would just love it. But the easiest way to do it is to get you into a small group environment where we can have some Jimmy John's. I'll feed you lunch today if you come. It's after the 11 o'clock service. And we'll talk about the vision of the church and how you can partner your family with it. There's no pressure to it. You can just take the Jimmy John's sub and look at me as you walk away. I don't really care. But it's an opportunity for you to find your gifts and talents, be serious about your calling, and use your talents for the glory of God. Write it down. Third thing is this. Let's give our treasure. Let's give our treasure. Kai and I had gone through, truthfully, a really difficult season. The church was being built here. This was a former Rite Aid. In fact, I can show you right there is the bulkhead of where the wall was for the former pharmacy, which stop asking to the person that wants to know if we can fulfill your prescription. We don't do that any longer, but we're working on demoing this building and chipping up the tiles and renovating this place. And while all of that happened, what was it, Kai? Within days of Jack being born, we closed on the church. 2 days. So Jack's born. 2 days later, we close on the church. When I'm leaving the title agency to come here, people had beat me here, and we're already demoing the building. Like, it's happening. And so all of this is happening. Just weeks after Kaya had Jack, we found that she had blood clots in her lungs. Not one, but multiple. If you know anything about it, it's deadly. And so we're in the hospital, and we got into faith very, very quickly. And the cool thing is, if you want the rest of the testimony, they gave her, 6 months of healing on medication, and we were two and a half, three months in, and we had another CAT scan. It was gone. God really did a work in her life, and it's amazing. Praise God. But what I'm saying, it was a difficult time. When we came home from the hospital that day, we got home, and a couple hours later, there were two friends from the church that showed up. It was Mary Sheehan and Casey Sheehan. And they came with what they called a sunshine kit. These are things that guys don't think about, okay? And so in the sunshine kit, everything was kind of yellow-themed. It was just stuff that Kaya loves. So there were some Norwex cloths, and there was some, I don't know, stuff that women like. And so there was just this big basket full of all that stuff, and then a ton of snacks, like fattening, fun, indulgent food. And they also brought dinner for that night, and dinner for the next night, and dinner for the night after that. And they were just, we love you, and we're here for you, and here's some toys for your new baby, and we sewed you, some burp cloths that have Jack's name in it. And so we just want to give this to you, but we don't want to take up your time. We love you. Bye. And it was like, what the world? Now, let me just say this. In a message like this, when I talk about something that happened to us, typically what happens is you guys are like, man, we love Pastor Joe and Kaya. And you guys like flow that generosity upwards, and you're very honoring that. Let me just tell you, I'm not fishing right now. Okay? Like, I'm not trying to draw. In fact, what the best thing would be is this, is if you caught on to giving of your treasure, and you just bless somebody that was in need. Or if you bless somebody in this church, or maybe somebody who's far from God, and welcome them into this place. And so I'm not fishing right now. What I'm trying to say is that love changed Kaya. There wasn't a lot of people around us. See, I'm very, very careful to not put my problems on you. So I give you the testimony after the fact. But there's seasons that we go through stuff. It's why we tell you, hey, pray for your pastors, why the Bible talks about it, because we don't put our problems on you. We're going to give you the testimony when everything's done. And if we didn't, navigate it very well, we're not going to give you that story. You know, amen. Because I'm perfect. Just kidding. So, but we were going through it, weren't we? And how refreshing was it for somebody to just come into our life, bless us, and just say, hey, you take care of everybody else. Let's just take care of you. Why don't you find that person in this world and just bless them? Amen, somebody? Wow. Fourth thing, and the last point is this. Let's give our testimony. Let's give our testimony. What does that mean? Well, I'm a little bit OCD, and I needed to find a T word because the first three were T words, and so it became testimony. But what I mean is give your testimony, your story, your journey. What is your story? For those of us that are Christians in the room, we know that the most incredible expression of the power of love in our life is when we connected with God through Jesus Christ. And that was incredible. What are you saying, Pastor? Hey, talk to somebody about your relationship with God. Talk to them about what's going on in your life. Share your story. Am I supposed to lead them to the Lord? I don't know if I can do that. Now listen, you might be. That might be the next step for you. You might need to lead them to the Lord. But maybe that isn't your next step. But what you can do is instead of just sharing gospel, maybe you could share your seat at church. Maybe that's your next step. A couple times a year, we give you on-ramps, just easy moments where you can invite friends and family to church. We do it in fall when it's back to school time. We do it first of the year in January, and one of them is coming up at Easter. So I'm excited to announce to you our Easter is going to be the greatest showman. I'm so excited about the theme for this Easter. Hey, that was absolutely atrocious. We are doing the greatest showman. And you guys are like, wow, how are you guys going to do that? We're not going to have worship. We're not going to have any. I'm just going to come up here and sing all of those songs to you with earbuds in my ears, okay? Like, no, I'm just kidding. Jesus. Some of you are like, awesome, very artistic, Art Prize 101, you know? No. Jesus was the greatest showman. When he left that tomb, the Bible says that he folded his grave clothes. He neatly folded them, meaning that his resurrection did not surprise him at all. And the cool thing about a person who has a little bit of flair like that to him is he didn't point the attention on himself. He always pointed to his Father in heaven. So I'm excited about Easter. I'm excited about the opportunity to bring your friends and your family to a day that I really believe is going to bless not only you, but people who are far from God and in a really positive and fun way. So you can share your seats by inviting people in the journey with you. I had a visitation with the Lord this week talking about this message. And the Bible story about Hosea and Gomer really resonated with me. And I felt like I was supposed to give, you know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, right? And so Hosea and Gomer, they were married. They were married 3 years, had three kids. Things seemed to be going really, really well. They loved each other. And all of a sudden, and even unexpectedly, Gomer leaves. They've got kids. Now, like I said, I got a 2.5-year-old. I know that they ask questions. I'm amazed at the dialogue that we have. Where's mom? What's going on? I don't know. I just imagine this is the great prophet of God who has to go find a sitter. Why do you need a sitter? I got to find Gomer. Maybe something's wrong. I don't know. I got a thought, but I don't know. And so Hosea goes back to that red light district, and I'm sure that his presence there was marked. I'm sure that people saw him. Oh, great man of God, you're back. I know why. Where's your woman? Can't keep your woman at home. And I just imagine the great prophet of God going back to this area to try to see, search out his wife. And he did it for this reason. This is what the Bible says in Hosea 3. The Lord said to me, go again. Go again. Go again. Love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. In other words, isn't it amazing that God doesn't try to like butter it up at all? He's like, listen, this is what she's doing right now. Right now. She's committing adultery now. And he says, go to her just like the love of the Lord for my kids. What does this mean, Pastor Joe? When Hosea married Gomer, it was kind of a picture of God for the first time coming on the scene and saying, hey, listen, you can do these sacrifices and it'll cover sin and it is a way that you'll be able to make it into eternity. But what we see is God's people falling away again. And if you know the narrative of the children of Israel, they did it constantly. So what happens? God sends Hosea again. His life is preaching, right? And so he goes, but he goes again. It's a picture of Jesus coming to mankind who had a way, but it just didn't work. The law showed just how far we were from God. And Jesus comes in and he purchases us again. And that's exactly what Hosea did. He goes in. I don't know, is there a cover charge in those type of places? He walks in and he sees his wife. And in those days, she would have been buck naked in front of a room full of men. And it was an auction. This is sex slavery 101. And he says, listen, you know, she's not for sale. That's my wife. No. She's my property. You want her, you buy her. Highest bid gets her. Can you imagine bidding for your wife? Just throwing out bids, and you're like, is this in? I'll pay anything. Finally, he purchases back his wife, and this is what he says to her. It's beautiful. This is Hosea 3:3. He says, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot. Don't act like that anymore. That's not who you are. Nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. He said, listen, we're on the same page here. I'm in this thing with you. And then God says, afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God. Hosea prophetically is walking out the love of God for us. The word Hosea, that name means salvation. The name Gomer means completion. Prophetically, what the Bible is conveying is the perfect completion of salvation is found in this generous love. It's found in a love that'll go to the depths and raise someone to new life. That's why when I'm in counseling, and I'm talking to somebody that's ready to get married, and they're saying, oh, Pastor Joe, we just fell in love. Really? You can fall into that? No. That's going to take every bit of sacrifice that you have. And trust me, if you do marriage right, it's going to require moments like that where you get to see them at their worst. You get to pick them up at their lowest. My God, I'd be nothing without you. Thank you. And the reciprocating balance of an incredible marriage like that, that is, you can't fall into that in 1,000 years. Somebody say amen. That is love. That is powerful. God doesn't stop, does he? He'll chase you back to that house. He'll chase you back to your shame. When you try to run, there he is. The Bible says if you even go to hell, there he is. Oh, he loves us so much. He's giving and giving and giving. And the way that he expresses it to Hosea is go again. Some of you in this room need to go again. You weren't treated fairly. Hey, go again. You know, they didn't reciprocate it. Hey, go again. I was embarrassed. Go again. Love again. Go back to the harlot. Go. They might be wrong in this. You might have a relationship where they took advantage of you, and God's never called you to abuse. But listen to me. You may need to forgive them and just by faith love them. Because God's love is so, so generous. It gives when we don't give. That, my friends, is the power of love. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I love you so much. I love this message. I think it's so freeing for so many people. God, I thank you that you minister healing in this place to the person that's been hurt in love, that hides themselves away, that doesn't give everything over. God, I pray for marriages in this place. That maybe even right now they would squeeze each other's hand. Maybe things are bad. Maybe things are incredibly good. But you're just saying, hey, listen, let's go again. Let's go again. I'm not giving up. Lord, I pray that they would be willing to do that by faith in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that as we teach on this balanced message of love, that you raise up a standard in our church. And God, if there's anyone in this room that they resonate with a message like this, but they don't have a relationship with you through Jesus, help me to find them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this room. If you walked in here, and this really does resonate with you, but you'd say, I'm far from God, whatever that means. Maybe you had a relationship with God, and you even prayed, but you don't have a relationship with God now. Maybe you've never really encountered the love of God. Let me just encourage you in this room in a safe place. Today's your day. We're going to pray a prayer in just a couple of seconds, and here's what this looks like. You're the boss over your own life right now. You're doing your own thing. You're guiding, you know, the principles and direction of your life. But the one that designed you, the creator of the universe, has a design and a purpose for your life. And essentially what you do is make peace with God through Jesus. When you accept Jesus as the Lord over your life, the boss over your life, you're saying, hey, I'm not such a good God, but you're a good God. You put things back on course. You find a sync, a rhythm with God. And the Bible says when you accept him as Lord, you're saved. You're born again. And that means that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts today. So if you feel like you're far from God in this room, we're going to pray. Everyone in the room, we call it the believer's prayer because it's that prayer. It's where you go from death to life. You're like, hey, man, I don't understand it all, but I'm in. So church, let's all say this prayer loud and proud. Say it with me together. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Make me new again. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this room. If you said that prayer for the first time, if you're coming back home, in like 20 seconds, I'm going to ask you to take another step. Now, let me tell you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up to the front. I'm not going to do it. All I want to know is who I prayed with. So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and people are going to lift their hands who prayed that prayer for the first time and put them right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to know who I prayed with on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, hands up in this place. Got you right over there. I got you right over there. Awesome. You can put your hands down. Praise God. Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. Just the people that raised their hand discreetly. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you, make you do anything. Just discreetly look at me. Yeah, proud of you. Right on. When you came in, they gave you that weekly, and on the inside of it, there's a connection card. I'm going to ask you to take another step. And here's the deal. Jesus is going to ask you to do big things in your life, and this is the least of those big things. Trust me. I want you to fill out your information and place where we could send a letter. Check the box that says, I accepted Christ. Here's why. I'm going to send a letter talking about next steps you need to take in your faith. You want this information so you know what to do. And then number 2, I'm going to put you on my prayer list, and I'm going to be praying for you by name every day. You want that. Would you be willing to fill out that card for me? Nobody's going to know your stuff. Awesome. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, I thank you for these people in the room that accepted Christ as their Savior. God, I thank you that you did a miracle in their heart. Thank you, Lord. It's what we're all about. We are for people to connect to God and be raised to new life in Christ. And so, God, I thank you that you did that miracle in them. And God, help them to know that nothing has to be the same. Father, plug them into a small group, a community of believers that are normal and that can bring them through, God, because they need some support in this. God, I thank you for drawing them to yourself in this place in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, hey, give it up for those people that accepted Christ in this room. So cool. So cool. Hey, stand up on your feet all over this room. Sweetie, you come on up here with those shoulder pads. Come on now, Jesus. Woo. That's intimidating. I kind of like it, you know? You look good. Hey, we love you guys. We've been looking forward to this moment all week, and this series is just starting. Next week's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss a moment of it. Let me pray for you real quick. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, you guys are dismissed. Have an awesome rest of your weekend.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.